Support for NPR Business News comes from the Kresge Foundation, building the capacity of nonprofit organizations through challenge grants since 1924, on the web at kresge.org.
Michael Eisner, the CEO of Disney, continued to testify yesterday in a closely watched trial in Delaware. Eisner faced some sharp questioning in a court proceeding that is exposing some of the challenges facing one of the best-known executives in Hollywood. Disney's own shareholders are suing current and former board members who presided when former Hollywood superagent Michael Ovitz was expensively hired and then fired as the company president. Here's NPR's Kim Masters.
As the first order of business, Eisner's own lawyer gave him a chance to explain harsh words that he had written in a memo that he sent to another Disney executive regarding Ovitz. In that memo, Eisner called Ovitz, his one-time friend and prospective successor, a psychopath, and said he was incompetent. That missive was written shortly after Ovitz was fired in December 1996, and his $140 million severance package had made a big splash in the news. Eisner said he had expected Ovitz to keep quiet about the deal. Believing that Ovitz had instantly spread stories about the settlement in the media, Eisner said he was outraged.
I was reading every single day about what idiots we were at the Disney company and how he had done this enormous feat. And I just, in the middle of the night, wrote our head of public relations these points that I thought were significant about him, although I didn't even know what the words meant. I was just so angry. So I was venting.
In another memo written a few months earlier, Eisner had questioned Ovitz's veracity. He cited Ovitz's allegedly erratic behavior and pathological problems. Lawyers for the shareholders will try to establish that Eisner meant what he said, and that given those characterizations, Disney had grounds to fire Ovitz without giving him a lavish payout. But Eisner said he was exaggerating when he wrote those words to make it clear to board members that Ovitz was not right for Disney. Eisner also faced questions yesterday from Stephen Shulman, the attorney for the shareholders. Shulman asked why Eisner allowed the drama over Ovitz's departure to play out for months after it had become clear that Ovitz was going to be fired.
Why didn't you just throw him out?
We could have.
So you didn't?
No, we thought it would be more professional. And I do read about companies that have guards come in and take people out and put them in the street and things like that. I think that's kind of bad form.
Shulman suggested that Eisner wanted, in effect, to get Ovitz's permission to fire him.
I was not trying to get his consent on being fired. I was trying to get his consent of leaving the company in a graceful way.
Using a slow-moving and sometimes contentious approach that didn't seem to sit entirely well with the judge, Shulman set out to establish that there is no documentation showing that the board discussed Ovitz's dismissal or the necessity to pay out his contract in full. Eisner blamed the company's corporate secretary when minutes of board meetings conflicted with his own recollection that he did have such conversations with the board.
I wasn't thrilled with the performance of the corporate secretary. I don't want to be too critical here, but just my instinct was that we could be more organized. I thought she was sloppy, actually.
Eisner also defended his decision to rely heavily on the advice of his top in-house lawyer that Disney had to give Ovitz the full severance package. As Shulman pointed out, by Eisner's own account, that lawyer wanted Ovitz's job and was eager to be rid of him. Shulman will continue to question Eisner today. Kim Masters, NPR News, Georgetown, Delaware.